Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Welcome back to the Scripture Spotlight right here, where we are looking this week at the voice of prophecy, right? Considering the lesson on studying God's Word. This is the Discover Study Guide of the Voice of Prophecy as we go through our Scripture Spotlight. Now, in this study, we're looking at how the Bible can change your life. You see, when we introduced this conversation, we talked about how to understand the Bible. But that's not where the story ends, right? Have you ever heard someone brush off the Bible just as a collection of ancient bedtime stories or fairy tales even, right? To say, no, it's not appropriate to me, to my setting, to my life. It's easy to look at it that way until you actually open it and you actually go through the pages of the Bible, right? Today, we're challenging that notion because the Bible isn't meant for sleeping. It's meant for waking up. The Bible is not a book for fairy tales, for our entertainment. It's a life-changing, character-elevating, transforming word from God. So join us as we discuss more on this, and guiding us in this conversation right here is our brother, our elder, Sipe Samka, who joins us now on the line. Dala, good morning to you and welcome.
Thank you for the warm welcome. Greetings to the viewers as well, Brother Derek.
Thank you so much. Trusting that we find you well on this morning.
Yes, by God's grace, we are fine. We are doing well.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you once again for joining us for study. Let's then jump straight into today's conversation right here. We are looking at how we can have the scriptures, the Bible, change our lives. Maybe let's start off with a bit of a summary. What are we looking at in today's conversation, and what is the effect of the Bible on a person's life?
Yes, well, you know, Brother Derek, what we're looking at today is the purpose of the Bible, the main purpose of the Bible. Mm-hmm. The purpose of the Bible is not merely to inform, but it is to transform. That's why verses such as Romans chapter 12, verse 2, they say, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Okay.
So we find here that the Bible is not merely an agent of information. It is an agent of transformation.
Now,
there are many people, my brother, who are informed, but not transformed. Mm. So the Bible desires, the author of the Bible desires to transform our lives, not just inform us about things that have happened in the past. So that is the main purpose of the scriptures, to transform. And the site of the transformation, it is the human mind. God wants to transform how we think. That's why when you look at carefully verses like Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, where Jesus sends his disciples, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Then he says again, teaching them to observe all things whatever I have commanded you. So the common word in that instruction is the word teach. So basically, the purpose of the Bible is to teach. And what part of the human body, of the human life, does a teaching affect? It is the brain. A teaching affects your brain. And what do we do with our brains? Well, we think. So basically, what we find is that the Bible is targeting how we think. God seeks to transform how we think about things, how we view life, how we view a lot of things in life. So that is the purpose of the Bible, to transform our minds. So basically, that's the summary. And the power of the transformation does not remain in the mind, obviously, but it filters out throughout the entire life. Because once your mind, the way that you think, has been transformed, then the way that you act will be transformed. Everything will change. You know, the way Brother Derek, the way that Jesus describes it in Matthew chapter 13, he says it's like when a woman is baking some bread. She takes a little bit of yeast, and then she puts it in the dough, huge lump of dough. And what happens is that after some time, the yeast has spread throughout the entire dough. Now, once the bread is baked, and it is sliced and even pieced, you can never be able to give me a slice or even a piece of bread that has not been touched by the yeast. Are you with me? Yeah. So every slice, every piece. So in that same manner, when a person has been touched and transformed by the Bible, each and every slice and piece of their lives is going to feel the effect. The way you speak, the way you dress, the way you interact with your colleagues, with your neighbors, with, you know, even the way you drive. You know, this morning I was reading someone was fatally shot in Johannesburg in Emerentia because of road rage. That won't happen when you've been transformed, because the transformation reaches even the way that you drive and the way that you interact with other drivers. So that is basically the power and the purpose of the Bible. Transformation.
It's there for transformation. Yeah. Yeah, we need that. We need that. I think we need that, like you're saying, way more than we need information. We need transformation. When you go through this lesson, Voice of Prophecy, in this study, it gives us a lesson number two, right? It gives us an illustration, an object lesson from the story of Juan Rosaria. Maybe just share with us and the listeners as to what actually is happening in the life of Rosaria.
Oh, yes. Now, that was a wonderful, wonderful testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Rosaria is said to be an atheist who did not know anything about the Bible, but she rejected it without knowing it, without giving it an opportunity. And sadly, that is the case for many people. They never give the opportunity to the Bible to speak for itself. All they know about the Bible is what others have said about the Bible, but never really knowing the Bible itself. So Rosaria was one of those. She was a professor, very knowledgeable about other topics. Probably she was teaching science, mathematics, who knows.
Mm-hmm.
But Rosaria was an atheist, and she had a friend who was a Christian. And this friend was not afraid, was not ashamed to share the truths of the gospel with her friend in a very practical way. So when Rosaria maybe would come to work and she's down, she would just give some promises of the Bible. And then Rosaria eventually became interested to say, let me just open the pages of this word. And then once she began to open, her life slowly but surely began to change. You know, it was decision by decision. It wasn't an abrupt change, but it was decision by decision, being influenced by something she read the previous day or, you know, early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Decision by decision, day by day, eventually the people around her were noticing the change and they're warning her, Rosaria, your reading of the Bible is changing you, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can imagine this is not something that happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
When I first read, there's a book I read about the Bible, Steps to Christ. And when I first read it, I was not converted. And I remember my brother came into the room, inviting me to go out for drinks and all of that. And then I said, no, I won't go. Then he came back again to try again the second time. When he came back again the second time, I was not expecting him. Then I was reading the book. And then, you know, he made a comment. And at that time, I became so ashamed when he made the comment. He says, oh, now you're a Christian. And at that time, you know, I shrink. I became very ashamed, you know, because I didn't want to be associated, you know, with being a Christian. But anyways, I think that's how maybe Rosaria might have felt as well when they told her that she was changing. But the power of the Bible to transform was able to overcome all of those hurdles. So this is a typical example of what we've just been speaking about, that when the mind of the human being comes in contact with the mind of God through the reading of his word, the transformation can't not but take place if the person is willing to be transformed. And so that is what we find in the life of Rosaria. And I'll just say this, Brother Terry.
Yeah.
You know, it's like she put on new spectacles. You know, that when your life is being transformed by the Bible, it changes the way that you see things.
Yeah.
So it's like putting on new spectacles. You see things differently. It's not to say that the things that are being seen, they changed. They change. But the way that you see them, that is what changes. So you might see the same things, but the way that you view them, it changes. And so that is what actually gives the peace that passes all understanding, as the Bible promises. That is what gives the joy where you're able to rejoice even in difficult circumstances, because now you are looking at situations and circumstances differently than before. You know, a good illustration for this is if you're waiting, let's say maybe you're sitting down in a bank, okay, in a queue, and then all of a sudden, let's say you're wearing flip-flops, right? And then all of a sudden a woman stands up, she's wearing high heels, and then she walks towards you, and then she steps on you with those high heels, and then immediately the blood, you know, the blood just comes out, gushes out from your toes. That's very painful, right?
Yeah.
And the immediate feeling is anger, a desire for revenge. Maybe you want to report her, whatever the thing, the case may be. But look at this now. Let's say as she walks away, you see the woman carrying a stick, and she's actually feeling her way through to wherever she's going. And she's actually just groping. And you realize, oh, the woman is blind. Mm. Mm? Now, that doesn't take away the pain, but it helps you to deal with the pain better.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it changes the anger completely. The anger completely goes away. Mm. And maybe even compassion will take the place of anger. The thing that has happened, the event that has transpired, did not change. But the way in which you view the event, it has changed. And that has now changed your feelings. And that has changed, you know, even the way you will respond to the situation. Mm. So basically, it is something similar to that that happens when you put on the spectacle of God's word. So we need to learn to view reality in the lens of God's word. Amen. See, the problem is that many of us, we have a book religion. Many people, they know people with a book religion. A book religion is a religion where, you know, the Bible just remains there in the book, in the pages. And that's why the only peace we'll ever know will be in the peace in the books, not the peace in our lives. The only joy we'll ever know won't be the joy that is in the books and not in our lives.
Yeah.
And the only heaven we'll ever see, it is the heaven in the books and not the real heaven. Because many of us have only a book religion because we have not learned how to view the world through the lens of God's word.
Mm.
So today, you meet someone, view that meeting, that encounter, whether they shout at you, view it through the lens of God's word. What would Jesus do?
Yeah.
What has Jesus taught me about such circumstances?
Yeah.
You see that?
Yeah.
So many a time we fail to do that, but I think Rosaria was on the money. She did that. She did that. And eventually she gave her life to Jesus Christ. What an amazing transformation.
Amen. Amen. And I think that's a positive end to any story, right? To say no matter where you started.
Yeah.
And I think that's sometimes we sometimes forget that the beginning, it's good to start well, but even if you start in a negative side, like how Rosaria was founded as an atheist, but her story ends up with her giving her life to Christ, and that's what matters. You know, as you were mentioning this idea of the new spectacles, I was reminded of Saul, right? Who starts off as a Pharisee. In fact, he is so excited about persecuting Christians, he asks for letters to go beyond his borders to go look for these people and bring them to what he terms justice. But as he is on the road, then the Bible testifies about how after the Spirit had dealt with him, things like scales fall off from his eyes and he begins to have a new perspective. No, thank you so much for that. I want us to close off with this one here. Why is it important that God's word is universally applicable? Why does that really matter?
Now, you see, you're touching something else now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's very important, Brother Derek.
Yeah.
First of all, I just want to reassure the listeners that the universality of the Bible, it is something that is taught throughout the entire scriptures. The fact that the Bible is for every race, for every culture, for every nation, it is taught throughout the entire Bible. When you're reading the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22, God says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." So in that verse, God is inviting every nation in the earth to look unto him for salvation. Do you see that?
Yeah.
So it's not, look unto me, all ye Jews. He says, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth. Mm? And also another interesting one that I just mentioned, Matthew 28, in verse 19, Jesus says to his disciples, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Do you see that? So according to Christ, the intended recipients of his love, of his grace, of his gospel, it's all the nations. All the nations. No nation above another. And then finally, the verse that we all know and love, John 3, verse 16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So the Bible doesn't say, "For God so loved." The Bible doesn't say, "For God so loved the Jews." It doesn't say, "For God so loved the Chinese." But so loved the whole world, everyone. So there we are taught in the Bible that, you know, everyone, whatever race, culture, or nation you are from, you can be saved by the life-giving truth of the Bible. Now, this is very important, because if you don't believe that, then you're not even going to begin to open the Bible. Yeah. Like the place where I am now, where I'm evangelizing now, because that's my work. Now, the place where I am, the people, many of them, they are coming from a religious, I'll say religious perspective that teaches them that Jesus is only for Jews. Or if he's not only for Jews, they say he's only for whites. And for them, their Jesus is Shembe. I'm sure maybe you've heard about the Shembe religion. Now here it's electric. It's electric. The Shembe religion. It's growing, it's spreading. And that is the notion that is actually giving, you know, power to the Shembe religion, that Jesus is not for you. So part of my work now, that's why I know these verses that I just mentioned by heart, because part of my work is to show them that the God of the Bible is looking for every nation, everyone, whether you're black, yellow, or white. God loves you. Jesus died for you. When Jesus suffered on the cross, he was suffering for the Africans. He was suffering for the Jews. He was suffering for the Chinese, and as much as he was also suffering for the Indians, everyone. Are you with me? So Satan has exploited the racial bias that we naturally possess as humans. That, you know, I am this race, therefore this is what will work for me. And I am this culture, therefore this is what will work for me. And this won't work for me. So Satan is exploiting that to frustrate the spread of the gospel and to make sure that people do not receive that joy and that peace that surpasses all understanding. So it's very important for us to believe in the universality or in the universal application of the Bible. And that God loves the whole world, every race, nation, and tongue. Amen.
I love that. God loves every race, nation, and tongue. Thank you so much for that. Thank you so much. Brother Sipe, we appreciate you. May God bless you for what you've done in opening up our eyes, right, to the truth and the reality and the alive nature of God's word this week. May God bless you. And until we chat again next time, we want to appreciate you. Maybe before I let you go, any final thoughts you'd want to leave with the listener?
Now, the final thought maybe I can share is this, Brother Derek, is that the secret ingredient of the Bible to actually achieve this transformation, it is the excelling love of God for the sinner. That is the secret ingredient that God uses to transform each and every one of us. So if we read the entire Bible, but we miss the love of God, boy, oh boy, we are going to be so miserable. We are going to become like those people who are termed the Pharisees. But when we actually see the love of God, which even now amazes angels, the love of God in giving his Son to die for a guilty race, then the whole life will change. You know, I know the experience, because I had a Christian experience where first I was just informed by a lot of, you know, I received a lot of information through videos and all of these things. But once when I saw the love of God, everything in my life changed. That's why I'm saying that even now, the work that I'm doing, I'm an evangelist, because it is because of this love that I saw. So once you see the love, what we need to pray for as you study the Bible, ask God to show himself to you. And God's, you know, God's character is love. He is love. And it is that love that really transforms us. So, yeah, that's what I want to give as the final thought. Don't read the Bible and miss the final message, the true, the central message. It is the love of God. that God uses to transform us. Yes.
Amen. Amen. And that is it right there. His love is all we need. We appreciate you, my elder. May God bless you. Until we chat again next time, keep well.
Amen. Blessings upon you.
Thank you. And that's how we're wrapping up our lesson here, The Voice of Prophecy. We are in the Discover Study Guide, and we were looking at how to understand the Bible, and we are discussing this this particular morning, our conversation centering around how the Bible is equipped, is designed to change your life. Accept. That's what we are calling out for that you do this morning. Talk to us, +27 73 470 3520.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.